RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the English Bulletin. Today's edition, we present to you the news, commentary, and news kaleidoscope from January until June 2015. So stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia entered 2016 confident of solid economic foundation. After 2 years of implementation, national health insurance provides economic benefits. Now the news in detail. Indonesian economy grew at a slow pace in 2015 due to internal and external debt factors, but government is confident of solid prospect as it enters 2016 since it has laid a strong economic foundation. The global pressures and economic downturns, coupled with internal factors such as a drop in exports, low budget absorption, declining the rupiah's exchange rate, and weakening of the people's purchasing power, contributed to slowdown in Indonesian economic progress. However, Indonesian economic prospect remains strong as it entered 2016 since it took significant steps over the past few years. President Joko Widodo, while opening a plenary cabinet meeting in his office in Jakarta, stated in 2015, Indonesia will be able to build a good and strong foundation. The International Monetary Fund IMF also confirmed that the country's economic prospect remains solid, thanks to the significant steps it took over the past several years. The national health insurance has been implemented over the last 2 years. Director of Planning, Development and Management of Risk of the Social Security Management Agency, BPJS, Tono Rustiono, said the program provides not only health care but also economic benefits. In a seminar entitled Review of National Health Insurance in 2 years of Implementation in Jakarta on Tuesday, Tono said in the field of health care, public appreciate this program. In addition, this program also promotes the community's economy through creating jobs in the areas of health and boosting health industry, medicine, and hospital construction. Economy grew about 18.6 trillion rupiah only in the development of the healthcare industry and drugs. Employment and hospital construction amounted to 8.63 trillion rupiah. The research was carried out by the economic team that we asked on the economic impact of the program. Tono Rustiono said health insurance is beneficial for the people. This can be seen from the expansion of coverage each year. The number of participants in 2014 increased to 133 million. In 2014 and 2015, the number has increased by 51%. Next year, the number is expected to increase to 188 million participants. Currently, health division of the Social Security Management Agency, BPJS, is improving the service and payment services in hospital and support. Tono admitted the premium does not cover the cost of health care. Therefore, in 2016, Tony said the premium, the benefit and additional funds will be reviewed. Indonesian constitutional law expert Muhammad Rifki Nizami Karsayuda said that there is no chance for Freeport Indonesia to extend its second working contract in Indonesia. This was stated in the dialogue held by Indonesian Young Entrepreneur Association in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to him, regulation on mining permit extension is stipulated in the Government Regulation No. 7, 2004. Rifki explained that the regulation binds not only to Freeport but also to all enterprises in Indonesia. In the same regulation, which becomes legal base of contract as well as contract extension, there is no legal loophole that allows Freeport and any other enterprises in Indonesia to extend its working contract more than twice. According to Rifki, working contract extension can be done with revision of government regulation currently conducted by the government. Rifki encourages all parties to monitor the revision to become further reports and to strengthen Indonesian economic and political sovereignty in the global communities. Culture and Education Minister Anies Baswedan has enlisted the help of the Corruption Eradication Commission (KPK) to combat graft and promote transparency in schools. On Tuesday, Minister Anies held a meeting with KPK Prevention Division along with Headmaster Front 503 schools to discuss efforts to improve integrity in education sector. In the meeting, Minister Anies also briefed the KPK on the low integrated index of most schools in the country as indicated by the persistence of cheating during national examinations. After the meeting, Minister Anies said that during the national examination, many education agencies, teachers and school headmasters distributed answers to their students so that the student could score well. This is something that we have to stop. Minister Anies said that the 503 schools selected to join the meeting with the KPK were thus proven to have conducted the national examination with a strong integrity over the past 5 years. A Russian Navy destroyer ship named Bystry has paid a friendly visit to Tanjung Priok Port in North Jakarta to promote military cooperation between Indonesia and Russia. The destroyer docked at the port from December 25th to 29th, one stop in a series of scheduled Southeast Asian countries visit. Russian ambassador to Indonesia Michael Galushin said earlier that the visit aimed to strengthen bilateral ties and especially military cooperation between the two countries. He said next year Russia will participate in the multilateral naval exercise Komodo in Indonesian waters. During the visit, the deputy commander of Pacific Fleet Flotilla of Pacific Fleet Rear Admiral Alexander Yuldasev held a meeting with Indonesian Navy Western Fleet Commander Rear Admiral Arief Rudianto and Jakarta Naval Base Commander Brigadier General Trusono. Ambassador Michael said that the meeting aimed to develop mutual understanding between the two countries, which will lead to broader military cooperation. Indonesia and Russia have long developed military ties. Central Executive Board of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association, BPP HITMI, urged the Indonesian government to take over PT Freeport Indonesia after the company completed its contract in 2021. Speaking in a dialogue in Jakarta on Tuesday, Chairman of BPP HITMI, Bahlil Lahadalia, said Freeport takeover after the contract is completed is not against the rules or international agreements. According to him, it is possible to take over Freeport asset as it will end its contract period.
HITMI dalam melakukan kajian, ini hanya satu aja intinya.
The point is that state is a baffle, therefore there should be an action reflecting the wishes of its people. So as if they will end their contract in 2021, the state must take over it. It would not break the rule. Second, this is a perfect time to show that we can be master in our own home regarding natural resources management. If we do not do this, we are weakening our bargaining power before the investors.
Furthermore, Bahlil explained that the takeover of Freeport is in line with the mandate of the law that earth, water and natural resources are controlled by the state and used for the greatest prosperity of the people. He said that after being taken over by the state, Freeport Indonesia can be owned by foreign parties including Freeport International, but not as a controller, adding that Freeport management later on can be taken over and ruled by state-owned enterprises. The last item. Tourism has seen as a relatively turbulent year despite the government's ambitious plan to attract 20 million foreign tourists per year by 2019, amid months of haze and a string of volcanic eruption clouding the industry. The target, which will gradually increase over the next 5 years, was set at 10 million foreign tourist visits in 2015, up from around 9.5 million in 2014. Central Statistics Agency BPS data on tourist visit this year has shown that tourism reached a low point in June when smoke from both Asteroid attack on natural land and forest fires affected, among other provinces, Riau, Jambi, North Sumatra and Central Kalimantan. The November data is expected to see another low following the eruption of Mount Rinjani that forced airports including Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali to close down temporarily. Despite this year's lackluster performance tourism minister Arif Yahya said earlier that the government would still aim for 12 million foreign tourists arrival next year. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, some events that occurred during 2015 are summarized in the program Kaleidoscope of Voice of Indonesia 2015, which will be reported on today and tomorrow. We begin with a summary of the 2015 Kaleidoscope event in January to June 2015. In January, New Year's Eve 2015, the World Peace Committee set Taman Mini Indonesia Indah as Park of International Civilization and World Peace Forum. This determination was issued based on the consideration that Taman Mini Indonesia Indah has Plaza Summit of the Non-Aligned Movement that reminds representatives of 200 countries of the Non-Aligned that ever planted trees in the area. At the same time, starting at 00 Western Indonesia time, the government lowered the price of fuel, premium type becoming 7,600 rupiah per liter, and diesel 7,250 rupiah per liter, according to the then coordinating minister for the economy, Sofian Jalil. With a selling price of 7,600 rupiah per liter, the sales price of premium is no longer subsidized by the government. In January 2, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially opened the inaugural of Indonesia Stock Exchange 2015 in Jakarta. The chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Financials, Mulyaman Hadad, and capital market participants were committed to improving their performance. We are sure the presence of the presidents to open stock trading this morning will give encouragement and increased commitment and our seriousness, especially the Indonesian capital market participants, to achieve good performance in this 2015. Ministry of Transportation suspended the permission to fly for Air Asia with the route Surabaya-Singapore since January 2, 2015. The provisions of penalties was related to violations of Air Asia's operational time Surabaya-Singapore route that caused the plane QZ8501 with 155 passengers and 7 crew fell around Karimata, Central Kalimantan in December 18, 2014. In January 12th, Arif Hidayat was elected by acclamation as chairman of the Constitutional Court for 2015-2017 period, replacing Hamdan Zulfa. On the same day, President Joko Widodo expressed hope that PT Dirgantara Indonesia should focus on the development of inter-island air transportation in accordance with the characteristics of the archipelagic nation by developing the aircraft with capacity of 30 to 60 people. In January 15, Minister of Religion Luqman Hakim Saifuddin said that press freedom should be done while respecting the religious beliefs, including the Muslim, were not allowed to draw the physical form of the Prophet Muhammad. Six convicts of death sentence related to narcotics and illicit drugs were simultaneously executed in January 18. The six death row inmates are a citizen of Malawi, Brazil, Nigeria, the Netherlands, and an Indonesian citizen. They were executed at Nusa Kambangan, Cilacap, and a Vietnamese citizen was executed in Boyolali, Central Java. In January 19, President Joko Widodo inaugurated 9 Presidential Advisory Board. Their task is to provide advice and consideration to the President in the exercise of power of state and government. Minister of Religion Luqman Hakim Saifuddin said in January 20 that the reception of pilgrims in 2015 remain through information and communication system of integrated Hajj.
Semuanya harus melalui Sisko Hajj. Intinya tentu nanti
everything has to go through Sisko Hajj, information and communication system of integrated Hajj. The point is that later the staff of the Ministry of Religion would select more tightly. So our pilgrim candidates who have been pilgrimage would not be a priority, because the only priority is really those who are not pilgrimage yet. This is aimed at uphold justice because our quota is very limited.
Coinciding with the commemoration of the World Leprosy Day, January 25, 2015, Health Minister Nila Muluk launched Jakarta Resolutions in January 26. She explained that this resolution can be used to eliminate stigma and discrimination for all countries that have problems related to leprosy. On the same day, President Joko Widodo inaugurated one-stop service in the office of the Investment Coordinating Board in Jakarta. One-stop service was formed on the instruction of President Joko Widodo to accelerate investment and stimulate economic growth.
Listener, now let's move to February 2015. In February 2nd, President Joko Widodo opened a working meeting with the leadership of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia representatives abroad. President Joko Widodo said, Indonesian ambassadors to foreign countries should promote economic diplomacy and have a sharp instinct to see the economic potential existing in the placement countries. The European Union and ASEAN held the annual meeting of the ASEAN-European Union Joint Cooperation Committee in Jakarta, February the 4th and the 5th, 2015. The meeting was to discuss the preparation of ASEAN Economic Community at the end of 2015. In February the 6th, President Joko Widodo started making an official visit to Malaysia for the first time in the framework of bilateral cooperation between the two countries. On February 11th, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, or DPR, promoted the establishment of an extradition agreement between Indonesia and Singapore. Earlier, the DPR has approved a bill on extradition treaty between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea and Indonesia and Vietnam into law. On the same day, Head of Data, Information and Public Relations of National Disaster Management Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said the government has set aside 4 trillion rupiah for disaster management. The fund will be used for national-level disaster management such as earthquakes, eruptions, tsunamis, floods, landslides, and drought forests.
Tahun ini ada sekitar 4 triliun rupiah.
For this year, there is about 4 trillion rupiah on which 2.5 trillion was on call. Ready fund is used for the emergency response phase and 1.5 trillion used in rehabilitation and reconstruction activities. Compared with 4 trillion needs, it is much smaller. We need about 15 trillion rupiahs. But what the government could only allocate 4 trillion rupiah and the post is in the Ministry of Finance. In February 16, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno L.P. Marsudi emphasized that Indonesia did not violate international law as stated in the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, although Indonesia carried out the execution of death row inmates related to the case of narcotics and dangerous drugs. She said, in the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 6 states that the death penalty could be done for a serious crime. According to her, in Indonesia, drug crimes are serious ones, and the government is committed to fight against drugs dealers to be punished with the death penalty. On the same day, President Joko Widodo stipulated tourism as a major sector that should be supported by all other related sectors, especially infrastructure and transport. Moving on to February 16th, Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said Indonesia cancelled providing visa exemption for the tourists from Australia that will visit the country because of the policy differences between the two countries. Australia follows a universal visa policy which requires that any foreign citizen to come to Australia should use a visa, while Indonesia adopts for the reciprocal visa exemption. It means that Indonesia will free visas for the citizens whose countries also impose a similar policy to Indonesia. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno L.P. Marsudi said on February 17th that her ministry has taken innovative steps to provide protection to Indonesian citizens overseas by opening the service of SMS Blast. In the SMS Blast, there are address information and contact numbers of Indonesian representatives' offices that can be contacted at any time if necessary. On the same day, Chairman of the Board of Nahdlatul Ulama, Kiai Haji Said Akil Siroj, stated that President Joko Widodo should not be submissive to the interests of any political parties because he was elected by the people and now he determines the direction of the people's fate. Said Akil also appreciated the neutral attitude of the Indonesian Armed Forces or TNI in political affairs, indicating the maturity of TNI in guarding the democracy. On February 19, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said that managing maritime sector is very important and strategic for the future of Indonesia. The management of the marine sector is in line with the vision and mission of President Joko Widodo to make the maritime sector as a source of the nation's economy. On February 23, President Joko Widodo assessed the actions of Parisian President Dilma Rousseff, who suddenly rejected the credentials of Indonesian Ambassador Toto Rianto at the Presidential Palace in Brazil on Friday, February 20th at 9 local time. The action was thought as an uncommon standpoint. This was pointed out related to the actions taken by Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff that linked her refusal to accept the credentials in regard to the execution of death row drugs, including a Brazilian citizen in Indonesia, Marco Archer, in January 18, 2015. On February 24th, former Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Tejo Edi Purjianto, said the Attorney General will continue carrying out the execution of convicted drug dealers and hazardous materials or narcotics and drugs despite the political intervention of friendly countries. The execution of the Attorney General will still continue, because the law is applicable in Indonesia. So, we are all of us expect other countries to appreciate or respect the rule of law in Indonesia. On the same day, President Director of Pertamina Geothermal Energy, Roni Gunawan, said Indonesia has 40% of world reserves of geothermal. According to him, geothermal energy can be updated by maintaining the water content that interacts with the heat of the earth. On February 26, the United Nations appreciated Indonesian government to have included efforts to address violence against women and children in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2015 to 2019. On the same date, a spokesman of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, said that Indonesian government will provide protection and assistance from the beginning to its citizens who are facing legal problems abroad.
Saya tidak tahu apa yang dilakukan.
I do not know what the other countries do, but Indonesia never does representation tightly in the final moments. We are always from the beginning. We follow the process, we follow the path of its development. Therefore, although we emphasize that we understand the steps taken by our friendly countries, but we continue to emphasize that we hope we do this in the context of existing law in Indonesia.
You're still with Voice of Indonesia in the program of Kaleidoscope in 2015. We continue to March 2015. Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop offered a convicted drug exchange. The offer was delivered in March 3rd when Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi visited New Zealand. To foreign media reporters, a spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, explained that the exchange of prisoner is not known in Indonesian law.
Basically, Indonesia do not have any or law or any other legal instruments that would enable the issue of prisoner exchange to be conducted. So there's no legal framework for Indonesia to be able to take, to undertake legal prisoner exchange.
Our decision will not do and will not do convict barter.
President Joko Widodo also affirmed after attending the Cap Gomeh celebration in the courtyard of the monastery Danagun, Bogor, West Java in March 5, 2015. Although he explicitly rejected the offer, President Joko Widodo said it would maintain good relations with neighboring countries with restrictions that must be respected by each other. He added that millions of people have died because of narcotics and drugs. Millions of others have undergone rehabilitations, and many of them have been impossible to be cured. Meanwhile, in another context, Professor of International Law at University of Indonesia, Hikmahanto Juwana, said the offer proposed by Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop to conduct a prisoner exchange with Indonesia is considered awkward in international law because it can only be done for prisoners of war, not for prisoners of death sentence. Giving a press conference in Jakarta in March 13, spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Arman Atanasir said that the 60th anniversary of Asian African Conference 2015 has the theme strengthening the cooperation of South-South to promote world peace and prosperity, and will produce three main documents that were discussed at the United Nations Secretariat in New York, United States.
Pada tanggal 19 dan sampai 24 April yang akan datang.
In April 19 to 24, Indonesia was to host the Asian African Conference and the 60th Commemorative Summit of Asia Africa. The theme was strengthening South-South cooperation to promote world peace and prosperity. Steps have been done in terms of both substance and logistical preparations. As presented earlier, in the preparation of related substance, there would be three outcome documents, namely Bandung Message, declarations regarding efforts to reintegrating the new Asian-African strategic partnerships, and also the declaration on Palestine, the process of negotiations being conducted in New York. President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo made state visit to Japan in March 22, 2015. In March 23, President Joko Widodo and his wife met Japanese Emperor Akihito and Empress Michiko Soda at the Imperial Japan. In the afternoon, President Joko Widodo and his entourage met with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at the office of the Prime Minister of Japan. After the meeting to the media, both the heads of governments explained that Indonesia and Japan have agreed to form a maritime forum, which is a forum for the two countries to develop cooperation in maritime security, maritime industry, and maritime infrastructure. The two countries also agreed to cooperate in the fields of defense, trade, and increased promotion of investment. On Tuesday morning local time, President Joko Widodo held business forum with Japanese businessmen. He was in Japan until March 25th. Still on Monday, March 23rd, the government of Indonesia through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs sent condolences and deep sorrow over the death of former Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew, who died on Monday, March 23rd. In its official portal, Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated that Lee Kuan Yew is known as the father of modern Singapore and is a great leader in Asia that is very close to Indonesia. In March 23rd, the United Nations launched 2015 Water Development Report in commemoration of World Water Day 2015 in Jakarta. Acting representative of UNESCO office in Jakarta, Shabas Khan, asserted that Indonesia is one of important countries because it still has a problem with clean water and sanitation.
So this particular report which we are launching today, it actually gives a forward-looking view of the big challenges in water management in the whole world. And you know, there is now a new sustainable development goal number 6, which is about water sustainability. And water sustainability is not only the sustainability of environment, it's about social, economic, as well as environmental. And in this regard, Indonesia is very special. In a recent seminar I gave you some facts and figures. Indonesia is 240 million people, but 110 million people have no sanitation in this country. This is not acceptable. More than 40 million people have no water which is safe to drink. But we have major issues. While Indonesia is a very important country with more than 2,000 millimeter rainfall and more than almost 6,000 rivers, 5,590 some people say. So we have to solve these water problems.
Director General of UNESCO, Irina Bokova, in a video taped to mark World Water Day 2015 said that the World Water Day 2015 was the right moment to map a new course of development measures in the environment and prevention of social impact, including pollution, deforestation, loss of biodiversities, and population growth. Water Development Report 2015 states that water-related disasters are most devastating disasters in terms of economic and social aspects. The disasters bring about serious impact on women, the poor, and disadvantage and disproportionately create poverty. President Joko Widodo and his entourage arrived in Beijing in March 25th for a state visit. He stayed until 28th of March. On March 26th, he visited the office of the China Railway Command Center, CRCC, and met with the head of the CRCC to discuss the management of mass transit system in Beijing for half an hour. On the same day, President Joko Widodo met with President of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, in Beijing. In a joint press statement with President Xi Jinping after a bilateral meeting, President Joko Widodo said, "China is a close friend of Indonesia, and both countries are strategic and comprehensive partners which complement one another." On Friday, March 27, President Joko Widodo met with Chairman of the National People's Congress of the People's Republic of China, Chiang Ticheng, in Beijing. On the occasion, Chiang Ticheng said China did appreciate President Joko Widodo because since taking office, he considers it important relationship with China. On the same day, President Joko Widodo also met with the Prime Minister of the People's Republic of China, Li Keqiang. President Joko Widodo invited Chinese investor to participate in cooperation in the maritime field. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Li Keqiang said that Indonesia and China share many common traditions and equally wants to encourage world peace. In March 29, 2015, around 148 Indonesian citizens in Yemen had been evacuated and repatriated to Indonesia. The government continued to make efforts to protect its citizens in Yemen.
Listener, now we continue into April 2015. Indonesian government sent to intensification teams of evacuation of Indonesian citizens to Yemen on Thursday, April 2, 2015, consisting of Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Police, Air Force and the State Intelligence Agency. The first team was set off in April 2 in the morning and led by Susapto Anggoro Broto from the Air Force. The team consisted of 15 people and operated in the city of Sana'a. Meanwhile, the second team that left in the afternoon was led by Yusron Amberi from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It consisted of 8 people and operated in the city of Al-Mukalla. Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entity at Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, while giving a press conference in Jakarta last Wednesday, April the 1st pointed out that the evacuation acceleration team of Indonesian citizens in Yemen leave by using Boeing 737 aircraft belonging to the Indonesian Air Force through Airport Halim Perdana Kusuma in Jakarta. Iqbal affirmed that Boeing 737 would not repatriate Indonesian citizens from Yemen to Indonesia, but will take them to different cities in Yemen, to the nearest airport, and safe places at the border before being sent home to Indonesia. Of the 4,159 citizens who were in Yemen, 141 had been repatriated into Indonesia. 309 remaining were in the town of Jizan, Saudi Arabia, and 45 in the city of Al Mukalla, Hadramaut, and 130 people in the city of Aden, Yemen. Muhammad Iqbal also said that the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, has communicated and asked for help to the ministers of foreign affairs of the friendly countries that have ships and military base around Yemen, such as India and China, to help carrying out the evacuation process. In April 13, a spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, while giving explanation to RRI World Service at Indonesian Foreign Affairs Office in Jakarta, said that 82 Indonesian citizens and some others had been evacuated from Aden to Djibouti. We thank to God that finally our citizens were in Aden after several attempts to get out of the shelter on today, Monday, April 13, at around 7:30 time of Aden or around 11:30 Indonesian time, that our citizens have successfully boarded the charter ship that we rent from Djibouti. Totally, there were 82 Indonesian citizens. Most of them are students, and all of them may be students, and by chance there were also citizens of Malaysia and Thailand. Because the ship is large enough that we rent, we chartered, so we could take them to Djibouti. Meanwhile, on Monday morning, April 13, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi welcomed the arrival of 92 Indonesian citizens, including a baby from Yemen, at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in East Jakarta by using Boeing 737-400 aircraft with a code A7305 belonging to Indonesian Air Force. According to Minister Retno LP Marsudi, until Monday, the total number of citizens who had been evacuated from Yemen was 1,795 people. 1,002 of them have been in Indonesia, and 793 were still in Salalah City and Djibouti City. Minister said that the success of the humanitarian operation was thankfully due to the close cooperation among Indonesian Air Force, the Nigerian Police, the National Intelligence Agency, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The government of Indonesia expressed deep condolences to the family of Siti Bint Zainab Duhri Rupa, an Indonesian citizen from Bangkalan, Madura. Siti was sentenced to death in the city of Medina on Tuesday, April 14, 2015 at 10 p.m. In addition, the Indonesian government also delivered a letter of protest to the government of Saudi Arabia, which has carried out executions against Siti Bint Zainab Duhri Rupa, without informing the government of Indonesia and her family first. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, when giving information to the RRI, explained as follows.
Salah satu warga negara kita, Siti
One of our Zainab, citizens, Siti Zainab, was sentenced to death in Saudi Arabia, 10 local time, in Medina, April 14. The government of Indonesia expressed very deep condolences to all the families and prayed that the deceased is received and gets the best spot on the side of Allah. At the 6th ASEAN African Conference taking place in Jakarta in April 22nd, President Joko Widodo called on all countries' participants who were present keep struggling for Palestinian independence. Because according to the President Joko Widodo, Israeli military assault on Gaza has made the world more and more critical. The summit of 2015 Asia-Africa Conference was officially closed by the President Joko Widodo on April 23rd, precisely at 17:30 local time in Jakarta. Before closing the conference, at first President Joko Widodo endorsed three declaration documents, which were agreed commitment all of series of meetings. They are Bandung Declaration, the Declaration of Strategic Partnership Strengthening New Asian African and Palestinian Declaration. After the endorsement, President Joko Widodo delivered his closing speech, and in his speech, President Joko Widodo emphasized that Asia-Africa Conference participants have agreed to participate in maintaining the world peace.
Dan dalam konferensi ini,
in this conference, we agree to equally excite the essence of South-South. We agree to establish a central network for peace in the two regions that can facilitate cooperation of the capacity building. We all condemn extremism and terrorism in the name of religion, and we encourage dialogue of religion and culture.
In May 2015, we would like to inform you some events in this kaleidoscope programs. To reporters in Wapeko, Kurik District, Merauke, West Papua, President Joko Widodo explained that starting in May 10, 2015, foreign journalists have been free to carry out their journalistic duties in all areas of Papua and to other regions in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo believed that the presence of foreign journalists in Papua is now no longer be able to provoke the local citizens, especially when the projects of infrastructure which have been taking too long time into the plan now starts to enter the stage of realization. President Joko Widodo made a state visit to Papua New Guinea in May 11, 2015. During his visit to Port Moresby, President Joko Widodo has signed two Memorandum of Understanding with Papua New Guinea Prime Minister Peter O'Neill. They are a Memorandum of Understanding on Oil and Gas Resource Management and the Prevention and Handling of Transnational Crimes. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno L.P. Marsudi held a meeting with the Foreign Minister of Malaysia and Thailand to discuss the irregular movement of persons in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, in May 20, 2015. The meeting was to discuss the irregular movement of persons that spread in Asian region. Indonesian government continues to support the application process so that a Palestinian state can be a permanent member of the United Nations. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawanasir, hope in Jakarta in May 21st that this can be realized in the near future.
Perundingan mengenai two state solution pada
dasarnya, talks about two state solution should basically be resolved between two sides. However, in the UN context, we continue to support the Palestinian application for full membership status or as a state at the United Nations. Therefore, more and more countries will recognize Palestine as a country. We hope that in the near future, this can be achieved.
Now, let's move to the events that occurred in June 2015. On June the 1st, at the commemoration of the birth of Pancasila to 70 years old in Blitar, Java, President Joko Widodo signed a movement, This New Indonesia. This movement is characterized by writing a message, hoping that the President and Chairman of the Assembly to embrace the whole community in order to practice the values of Pancasila simply, creatively, and contemporarily. Indonesia was re-elected a council member of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, for the period 2015-2018 in a plenary session of the organization. Before, it was held by Malaysia. Indonesia's membership starts being officially effective as of the end of the implementation of the 39th FAO conference in Rome, Italy. Indonesia became one of the 6 representatives of the countries from Asia which were approved as council members. A total of 315 Rohingya refugees who were stranded in the waters of North Aceh received cards of asylum from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR. The chief immigration of Lok Samawe, Akmal, said that UNHCR card was given by considering several factors, including the security in their home countries. So, protection needs to be given to the Rohingya refugees. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Social Affairs submitted relief goods worth around 2.3 trillion rupiah. On June 24th, Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya announced that Indonesia would increase the number of visa-free to international community of 30 countries that want to visit the country starting in 2016. Previously, as many as 45 countries are granted visa-free to Indonesia this year. The policy has been outlined in the Presidential Decree No. 69/2015, which has been stipulated since June 9, 2015. Well, listener, we've just informed you some events that occurred from January to June 2015. For the events that occurred from July to December, we will inform you tomorrow. On behalf of all staff on duty today, me and also Nuka as the narrator and the operator on duty, Tommy, I would like to say thanks for having joined us. See you again tomorrow in the program of Kaleidoscope 2015 at Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Buktikan apalagi yang harus
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.